And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. God did this.
Ooh.
God did this. Plus, here's one we have never done before, lessons from the wine. Now, I'm not talking about complaining. Lessons from the wine. Also, Shelley Martinkus is going to be joining us live to talk about the Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart Conference and today's Facebook post, What a Friend.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, prevailing, continuing to prevail, to keep on growing and keep on going and not to quit. Yes. Politics, entertainment, and current events. See, those don't seem as fun as the ones I just did. See, I just did, you know, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And then you do politics, entertainment, and current events. It's like, blah. It's like, one was great, one's like, blah. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. Remember how we were just discussing the last hour, how that sometimes the enemy gets in, sometimes the world gets in, sometimes it's just our flesh and being dumb? Our last little portion of our whole teaching got cut off. We're going to redo it again, just that last little portion, just so people don't miss it. Why? Oy vey, there's so much. There's so much to talk about. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The Trump administration says both North Korea and its trading partners need to be sanctioned after a ballistic missile test.
U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley says the Security Council needs to tighten sanctions against North Korea. But pointing out that previous sanctions have brought few results, she said the target of enforcement should be expanded.
We will not look exclusively at North Korea. We will look at any country that chooses to do business with this outlaw regime.
Haley made frequent references to Otto Warmbier, the American put into a coma during his imprisonment in North Korea. She used his death as an indicator of the regime's cruelty, a cruelty that she said is a threat to all UN members, not just those within the range of North Korea's missiles. Warren Levinson, New York.
Haley said the United States doesn't seek conflict. In fact, we seek to avoid it. But she said the launch of an ICBM is a clear and sharp military escalation, and the U.S. is prepared to use its considerable military forces to defend itself and its allies if we must. President Trump has arrived in Europe on his second overseas trip since taking office.
Air Force One touched down in Warsaw to start what will be a short stay in Poland for the president. He'll give a speech to the Polish people tomorrow before heading to Germany for the G20 summit, headlined by a meeting with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. That sit-down will put his negotiating skills to the test, as will another pressing crisis.
North Korea has proven to be the greatest challenge in the immediate period of the Trump presidency.
Georgetown University's Mark Jacobson says this week's intercontinental ballistic missile test puts the president closer to having to decide whether to take action against the North, with diplomacy simply not working right now. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by a point to 21,478. The Nasdaq rose 41. The S&P advanced 3.5. Oil dropped to $45.13 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Leaders of both political parties and the most prominent voices in media all make the same mistake that poisons our politics, concentrating on the president's personality, not his policies. Debates always seem to center on Trump's character. Is he a breath of fresh air who's appropriately shaking the system, or a bigoted buffoon who's corrupt and incompetent? Democrats obsess on exaggerated charges of Russian collusion and won't debate crucial issues like health care and tax reform. Arguments over Trump's personality may boost ratings and political fundraising, but they're ultimately pointless and polarizing. Love him or hate him, he's the president for the next 3.5 years. Democrats could meet him halfway on legislation or foreign policy, but there's no constructive compromise if your main concern is savaging his character. On reality shows, contestants play clear roles as heroes or villains, but government should be about progress and programs, not nasty games. I'm Michael Medved.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. By the way, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Also, Facebook, the David Spoon Experience, where we take most of our Facebook posts and put them up there every once in a while. I put a picture of my grandson who came over and had a T-shirt, special shirt made just for him, that said, I am very wise, like my grandpa.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That's the best part of the whole thing. That, and I was telling Chris, I took my first nap in 40 years. I normally don't nap, but I napped without being sick. I was so tired. We'd done so much stuff. I was actually so tired that I went back and laid down in my bed, and I actually slept for like 2 hours. So, you know, the first thing I thought of is, I'm dying. Okay, and then the second thing I thought of is, I'm older. So, anyway, napping. Not a bad thing. Just takes a while to get things out of the system once you're sleeping, then you wake up. My wife loves to nap, and Jesus napped, you know, on a boat when it was sinking. Amazing. The last segment, the very last little segment I talked about, got rung out by an emergency broadcast alarm. And I don't fully understand how that works. I mean, Agent Squires could tell us much more. In fact, what is that? They just come on when they're just trying to make sure, hey, if something goes on, we want to be able to tell you?
That's exactly it.
So they're just like, okay, something going on. It's really bad. Godzilla is in the water. We just want to tell you, Godzilla is in the water.
That's a separate alert.
Oh, is that, does it different than that one? That
does it? Yes, there's the regular one, then there's the Godzilla alert.
Okay, so at any point, they have that right to do that on any radio station. They do it all the time, correct?
Evidently.
Okay, so I do want to just recap what we were talking about. I had talked about the realities that in Job 14:1, it talks about a man's days being few and full of trouble. And we just discussed how even though there can be a lot of things that are going on in life, that it's not God's fault. God is not to blame. And what happens is we will tend to forget that God is not to blame because we're so focused on us being right. And we're so focused on us knowing the full plan that's going on, we act as if we know. And what's sad about that is when we do that, we do not impute to God the quality that he is entitled to. So let's just talk about that. Just rehash that for a second. God, while you were an enemy, chose to make a pathway for you to spend eternity with God by giving up his one and only son. That's the quality of God. So when you're going through a tough time, it's easy to want to blame somebody somewhere, but blaming God is dumb. And then the worst part about that is blaming God. When you do that, you're imputing to God that his quality is less than excellent. And that's a real sincere problem. We mentioned briefly that there are three arenas that you can toss blame at. Certainly, the devil bears some blame in some of our obstruction. And we get that from 1 Thessalonians 2:17 and 18. You get that also from 1 Peter. You understand that the world itself, a system raised up apart from Christ, little g, trying to become big G, that the world itself is a system set against God, and that certainly has some bearing against it. But the reality is, most of the time, our trouble, our problems, are our own fault. I know people don't like that. When I say this, I get people saying, you shouldn't say that. But it is our own stupidity that does these things. It's our own crummy personal decisions, because nobody bought you a bike with training wheels at 5 years old. You don't have the right to rob people or to hurt people at 25. That's just a bad decision. And even if we won't admit it, it doesn't change that those decisions that we make in our power are dumb decisions. We need to recognize something, that blaming God is a bad move. You're imputing to God that he's less than quality, plus you're elevating yourself against God, which is exactly what Job did before he got rebuked. This is the same God that loves you, that's passionate about you, that protects you, that listens to your prayers, that's there when you cry, that walks you through circumstances that you could never get through. It's the same God who wraps his arms around you and kisses you on the forehead and tells you it's going to be okay. That's who you're imputing less than quality to. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. God doesn't do this by mistake. He takes your mistakes and makes something from them. It's not fair to throw it at God because you and I make bad decisions or we can't figure stuff out. There has to be a genuine trust in the quality of God himself. He didn't have to save you. He didn't have to do any of this. But he did it because it's his way of telling you he loves you. And no, you can't justify that. You can't quantify that. You can only see the quality of God's love. You can't put it in a cup and say, well, it's this much love or it's this much love. It's love that you and I cannot even measure. We can't even measure because we can't fathom it because we don't operate with that mindset. We go around thinking people have wronged us. We're the ones who are wrong. They hurt us. And a majority of the things that we've encountered in life were our decisions. We made the choice to go that way. And yet God gets the blame. Mankind made a decision to live life apart from God. We raised our fists to the heavenly and we said, we'll run this planet without you, we'll ignore you, we'll not abide by your laws, we'll not abide by your rules, we'll do it ourselves, we'll do it independently, and we'll find our own way. And what's the first thing that happens when disaster happens? The first thing that happens right after that, we blame God. I don't need you to run this planet. Oh, God, why could you let this happen? It's sinful. It's wrong. Because blaming God is dumb. And I don't mind if you toss it at the devil. I don't mind if you toss it at the world. I think that there's entitlement there. But as long as you're tossing it at yourself. But the Lord's way is perfect. His love is perfect. His compassion is perfect. His patience is perfect. Blaming God, ultimately, in a reflective mirror, is speaking a lot more about who you say you are. His quality is above reproach. Our quality is not. It's to him that the glory goes. Not to you, not to me, not to pastors, not to leaders. To God and God alone, that no flesh will ever glory in his presence. All right, we're going to take a short break and then come back. We're going to pick it up on the lessons from the wine. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend, Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electro gun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Paint the top of your keys with different color fingernail polish. It helps you quickly identify which key is which.
That's a life hack. Those simple little tricks that can make life a lot easier.
Put a glass of water in the microwave when you're reheating pizza. This keeps the crust from getting chewy.
You'll find all kinds of life hacks with a quick internet search. But life hacks have been around a lot longer than the internet. There's a whole book of what you might call life hacks in the Bible. They're in the book of Proverbs, and they include gems like this.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
And get this, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, so you can read a chapter a day every month and get a steady stream of life hacks or life wisdom.
Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs.
You can learn more about the benefits of daily life hack, well, daily Bible reading at this website, findpeacewithgod.net.
from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. A German light infantry battalion recently reported, according to the Wall Street Journal, that during exercises, their unit didn't have the munitions to simulate battle. Instead, the soldiers were simply told to imagine the bangs. All this comes in the aftermath of President Donald Trump's visit to Europe, in which he pointed his finger at the Europeans, including many of our most historic allies, for their failure to spend enough in terms of their military. The Dutch Prime Minister recently said, to an extent, he has a point. Indeed, the president has a massive point. As the Wall Street Journal reports, today European allies spend roughly half as much as the United States on defense, yet have less than one-sixth of its combat power. This is not a problem that can be quickly remedied. Perhaps we can understand why Vladimir Putin and others see the opportunity when we are told that a German light infantry battalion is having to say bang, bang to one another because they actually don't have the bullets. I'm Albert Moeller.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Bowser, Bowser. Hope everybody's having a great week. I hope you are thoughtful of more than just your own universe, as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that it is not just our little sphere, our little universe that we need to be thinking about. You know, we're going to be doing an appeal next week in regarding feeding starving children, and we're going to ask you for help. Don't even kid yourself. Oh, you're going to ask me for help. Here, I'm going to help all those people out right now. If you think that our asking for help is manipulation, then don't listen to the radio station all next week, and you will be free. There you go. But for those that are committed in that process of wanting to learn more and want to participate, listen, you're going to find some fascinating material, fascinating story. Now, we're going to do a DDD that is not conventional. So what is a non-conventional DDD? Well, a conventional loan, for example, meets all these certain standards. A conventional DDD might meet all these certain standards. This is not one of them. This is titled Lessons from the Wine. Lessons from the Wine. The one thing that we will say prior is for those that have a terrible time in fighting alcoholism and in drinking, this is not a lesson to encourage you to imbibe in any possible way. And if you struggle with it and you think this is not good for you to hear, then change the channel and listen to some for 10 minutes and then come back. Okay? It's just important. But it is called Lessons from the Wine, John chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why does this concern us?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, 6 stone water jars had been set there for the Jewish rites of purification. Each could hold from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not know where it was from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone serves the fine wine first and then the cheap wine after the guests are drunk. But you have saved the fine wine until now." You can get into all kinds of teachings, all kinds of arguments on a text like this. You don't need to. You just can. But then again, you can do that on, you know, Revelation 13, Revelation chapter 20. You can do that on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14. You can do that on, you can argue on anything you want. Here's something you have to see to appreciate. There are six stone water jars that have been set aside for the Jewish rites of purification. Can we just all get on the same page there? Six stone water jars had been set aside for the Jewish rites of purification. Jesus' mom was invited to the wedding, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So it makes you think, well, they probably got a little bit of reputation going on, a little bit of growing there. They run out of wine. Jesus tells them to take take the six stone water jars that have been set aside. Each can hold up to 20 to 30 gallons. Fill the jars with water. Do you understand that the jars for purification have to do with ceremony, right? What are the jars for purification? You put your hands in, you wash your hands before you do anything, before you get any cups, before you get any plates, you wash your hands. That's all ceremony. But you know what they were doing at the wedding? They were celebrating. When they have a wedding now, we do a Saturday. You're hoping it's not real hot. Starts at 6. Ceremony's done by 6:30. You go to the dinner at 7. You're hoping to be done by 9:30 or 10. A few more people hang out to 11. Everybody goes home. Back then, when they did a celebration for a wedding, it was a week. A week-long celebration. You'd think that if Jesus was as legalistic as some people say, he would not have interfered with the ceremony of the washing of purification. But you know what? In the life of Jesus Christ, celebration is more important than ceremony. Jesus wants you to have good things in life. Did you know that it's okay to enjoy some of it? Here's what I want you to get. When did the miracle happen? I love this. I go crazy over stuff like this. Jesus tells them to fill those jars with water. Somewhere between them filling the jars with water and taking the water to the master of the banquet, somewhere in that spot, during the process, a miracle happened. What was the miracle? The water turned into wine. Somewhere between pouring the water and taking the water out and giving it to the master of the banquet, the water turned into wine. Well, what point did it happen, Dave? I don't know. And neither do you. At what point it happened? We don't always know during the middle of a process at what point the miracle happened. But there was a miracle between the pouring of the water and the drawing of the water and the master of the banquet drinking the water. And it was wine. And it wasn't grape juice, because nobody drinks wine and then goes, well, they're nice and drunk now, give them the garbage, unless it has that effect. This is what I wanted to say, and this is what we just said. Look at the quality of the work of Jesus. We just talked about this. Jesus turns the water into wine. But he doesn't just turn the water into wine. He turns the water into better wine. You see, the guy already paid for the good wine. And then after you have the good wine, you bring out the lousy wine. And so you go from the good wine to the lousy wine, and nobody cares. But when Jesus gets involved into a work, it doesn't come out the junk. It comes out quality. Jesus's work is quality. Remember how we just talked about in the last segment and in the last hour, the quality of God? Look at this passage. Jesus had a quality wine come forward from his miracle. Let's stop insulting God by believing that when he does something, it's barely enough. Just enough to get you by. When he fed the 5,000, there were 12 basketfuls left over, more than they started with. And when Jesus turned the water into wine, it was better wine than it was there in the first place. Because when Jesus does a work in your life, it's quality. That is something to be blessed about. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Miss Foster, you must alert the authorities immediately.
Why is that, sir?
All these new people we hired have been replaced by alien life forms.
And what makes you say that?
They're all here on time.
That's because they're from helpwantedsandiego.com.
That's their home planet?
No, it's the job site. So easy to apply that the number of applies per posting are now up over 57%.
Why are they all smiling so much?
Because they're happy.
Because they're not human.
Could be because they don't have to drive ridiculously long distances.
In their little spaceships.
In their cars.
The pod people do seem to be good at what they do.
Well, we get some of our best hirees through helpwantedsandiego.com.
Do we?
The site is super mobile friendly and the apply process is so easy. The applies are up over 57%, so they have more qualified local employees than ever.
So what is that strange sound I hear? Surely some intergalactic language.
I believe it's called laughter.
Well, at least they've come in peace. But whatever do we feed them?
I'm going to go with lunch. Lower prices to post jobs, mobile friendly, and so easy to apply to great local jobs. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
And we said, surprise, it's Mr. Brown, best mailman in town. Today is officially Mr. Brown Day.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Karen Eamon.
And our little kids had gotten, like, a squirt gun for him to ward off the dogs, and we made him cookies and had lemonade, and he walked on his way, and I didn't think too much about it. But you know what? About a week later, I heard the pit-pat of his feet coming up the block. He took off his sunglasses. He kind of dropped his head for a minute, shook his head, and then he looked up at me, visibly choked up, and he said, do you know what? I have been a mailman on this street for 33 years, and no one's ever done anything like what your family did for me. Thank you. Wow. For Mr. Brown Day. And it's not because our family is all that great. It took us 8 years to think of the idea. But he said, you know, people remember me at Christmas, but no one ever stopped their life on a random Tuesday afternoon and said, thank you for faithfully serving our family all year long.
So take the time to notice and serve someone else and make a profound difference. You can hear more from Karen today at FamilyMinute.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Pray the Lord, my soul to keep. Keep me through your grace.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. This is going to be a treat for some people who really need to hear what our next guest is going to say. So we're going to try and do the best we can to kind of support behind this. We have Shelley, and Shelley Martinkus is on the line with us, and she's with Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. I just want to make sure we got the connections right. Shelley, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, awesome. So we're doing good so far. All right, and I don't think I did too bad on your name. It's Martinkus, right?
Perfect.
Wow.
Good job.
I'm 2 for 2. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what it is that you guys have got going on. Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. You have a conference that is a gathering, and I don't know if they call it a conference or a seminary. They keep changing the names and then never telling me. But well, you've got something going on where people have an opportunity to really do some exploratory work spiritually and potentially some healing and some ministering taking place. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
That's right. So, you know, I call it a conference as well, and New Life Ministries is always correcting me, telling me it's a workshop. The women come and work. It's a workshop. So Restore is a workshop specifically for women that have been betrayed. It might be pornography. It could be physical or an emotional affair. But it's specifically for women that have gone through betrayal. They might be separated. They might be divorced, or they might still be married to their husband. And they're looking for healing. They're looking for hope. And so that's what the workshop is all about, is taking them. And what we do at the workshop, there's 8 main sessions that I speak at. And then the women break up into small group sessions led by a Christian counselor. And there's 6 of those throughout the weekend. And we just help the women. And we talk to them about what it looks like to grieve. This is a story that none of us ever thought we would have. None of us thought we would ever have. And it affects so many women in our community. And so we just walk them through what it looks like to grieve, what it looks like to restore. And it might be the marriage that is restored, and it might not. But what it can look like to pick up all the broken pieces of their heart and of their lives and start to put it back together.
All right.
It's a really powerful weekend.
What's the timing? Where is it located? What are the times? I need some what we call connect points for people, because I got a bazillion questions. So where is it?
Yes, it's in Irvine, California. And it's next weekend, so it's July 14th through 16th, so it's just up to 5. It's really not far away from your listeners, and it starts on Friday.
Okay, and it's July in Irvine. 14th. Got it. And is there a phone number, website? What do we have that we can send people to?
So they can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE,
okay.
N-E-W-L-I-F-E, or they can go to newlife.com. And click on Restore under workshops, and they can get more information that way as well.
Okay. Is there a cost associated?
There is a cost, and there are also scholarships for women that are in need. So I really hope, if there's anyone listening that's like, there is no way I can afford this, there is a scholarship fund, and there are women that have been to the workshop that are giving back and allowing others to go because they've donated money. So whether you can afford it or not, I encourage your listeners to call and get more information.
Okay, excellent. So very happy to have you on, because I think this is really important. I think it's important, you know, on different aspects and time. I'm hoping to see something like this happen for men as well. But let's concentrate on what we're concentrating on. I have some questions. You may or may not have the answers. You and I, we've never talked before, so this is all, you know, we're just doing this as the Lord leads. When you have a situation like a guy and a gal that have been married and there is a breach, this is a question I've wanted to ask somebody who could really answer it. Is it worse if it's somebody that they both know, or is it equally devastating if it's like pornography? You know, like if there's a person involved, is that worse because they have knowledge or relationship to that person, or is it just as bad with pornography? And what does that indicate? Like, what is somebody who's being unfaithful through pornography maybe indicate? Does that indicate, you know, a boredom or a lack of covenant commitment? Where does that lead people?
Yeah, good questions, David. Okay, so I'm going to tackle the second question first.
Okay.
And, you know, you just asking, like, what's at the root? If someone's looking at pornography, is that about boredom? What is that exactly about? And with we can use an umbrella term and call what a lot of these husbands that are what they're dealing with, their sexual integrity issues. Okay. And so it's important to remember that it's actually not about sex. And that's a huge misconception, not only in the Christian community, but in our culture at large. It's an intimacy issue. Okay. So it's all about this fear of rejection. And if you think about it, when someone looks at pornography, they do feel some connection. They might feel a little bit of love. However, it's fleeting. It's false intimacy. And yet there's no risk of rejection. The image on the screen will never reject me if I'm looking at it. I will be the one to shut the computer. Okay, so it's an intimacy issue. And at the core, there's this huge fear of rejection.
Wow, that's really good.
For people that have sexual integrity issues.
Good insight. Really, really good insight. See, that's great stuff right there. Because it's like what you're saying is, this is this something that, because there is a fear of rejection in the man's part, we're just using that as our example, that's sure. Why he's not comfortable to share that with his wife? Because he feels like he could get rejected?
Not comfortable sharing that he has a problem.
That he's looking, or so is that wrong? What I'm trying to find out is, if a guy's on the internet and he's looking, is it because he's not saying to his wife, man, I'm really, in the mood more lately, and man, I really want to, I want to do more exploratory. Is it more like that?
No.
Is that what's going on, or is this just straight out, rejection of integrity altogether?
No. So it's actually more about emotions that the husband is dealing with, that he doesn't know how to deal with. And a lot of times he feels insignificant at work. His boss called him into the office and said, hey, you're not doing a good job. Your performance needs to improve. And he feels so insignificant. He takes those emotions. He starts to feel shame. And then he looks for a way to cope with those negative messages. And so then he starts to reach out to, whether it's pornography, flirting with a woman, whatever it might be, and it's a negative coping mechanism.
Wow.
Does that make more sense?
Yep, it does. It really does. All right, now can you tail back into that first question?
I find it
fascinating, because most of the time it'll be guys talking to guys, not necessarily people that are entrenched in what the ministries are as much as an attitude of buck up. Buck up, do better. And it's like, I don't know if that's helping everybody. I think we need to get, maybe there's more root causes that we need to kind of dive into and bring healing into. But what about that difference between a pornography situation and an actual person that is in some kind of connection with everybody?
Right. Okay, so here's how I want to answer that question. Definitely we know that as the acting out is what we call, whether it's, an emotional affair, a physical affair, pornography, chat rooms, etc. As the acting out increases and goes from virtually to in the flesh, consequences increase. We do know that. But what we cannot say is the wife's pain also increases. Because, David, you and I, we are the sum total today of everything that's happened to us in our lives. And so for a wife, that if you have two women, one her husband looked at porn, the other her husband had an affair, we have no idea the hurt and the pain and the wounds that she brought into the marriage. And thus we really can't say who is in more pain. We really can't judge anyone else's pain, just as God doesn't judge our pain. When we come to Him and when we're grieving and when we're hurt, He doesn't judge our pain. Same with these women. We really can't judge anyone else's pain. So I do not know which wife would be in more pain. It's painful no matter what.
It's a great answer, because it seems like it's quite difficult. And the reason that I'm trying to broad stroke on a lot of this and kind of throw this out is because I believe that this ministry that you're in has a much wider net, but people are afraid to connect to it because they don't want to admit there's a failure in the marriage, failure between the husband and the wife, that there's greater shame than anything else. And I love relationships where the husband and the wife are just like, you know, like my wife and I, the way we talk to each other, we want to be in death as we are in life. That's how we talk. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that I think that's an important principle. That doesn't mean everything is perfect, but it's that mindset, that goal, that element. But some people, it's so disheartening that you want to be able to do something. You want to help. You want to. It's almost like you just want to cry and, you know, come up with some solution. That's one of the things you're offering, though, is recovery for these women who have nowhere to go. Right? I mean, they got nothing.
Exactly. And I'm so glad you brought up that point, David, about there being so much shame around this issue and so many misconceptions. That's why I love your questions, because a lot of people, well-meaning people and pastors, they think it is about sex. And they tell women when a couple comes into a pastor's office, I hear this so often, and the couple shares their story, the pastor will look at the wife and say, you need to have more sex with him. This will get taken care of if you have more sex with him. And that is so inaccurate. It is just complete, because again, we know it's an intimacy issue. And so maybe that's also why it's difficult for these couples and for these women to come out, because they really are struggling with an intimacy issue in their marriage. I know for me, my husband, Jason, he had an intimacy issue. I did too. And that's why we worked well together, because he really wouldn't let me get too close to his heart. And I didn't let him get too close to my heart either. I didn't grow up in a family of origin where we did that sort of thing. So that was what was most comfortable for me. So part of our restoration has been figuring out, how can we be fully known? How can we be intimate? And I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. I'm just talking about intimacy in general, emotional, recreational, intellectual intimacy. How could we do that? And also know there is a real risk of rejection. That's been a huge part of our recovery.
Excellent. Excellent. So I want you to, I want to do kind of a follow-up. I think you need to, I don't know if you need to coordinate it through Lisa or not, but a follow-up, because I want to see how it went, because I'm interested in that. I think there's a fascinating subject that doesn't get a lot of play. And I don't, it's like, and it's like, okay, well, it better, because things are for the church, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So we need to have all the tools that we can possibly have. I do want people to know you can go to newlife.com. Newlife.com. And on that website, there's that opportunity for Restore to get the information. But you can also call them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get more information. This is taking place in Irvine. It's not that far. It's just on the other side of San Clemente. And I lived in San Clemente for a long time, and I was working out of Rancho Bernardo, so don't tell me it's that far. You guys can do it. You can get there. Great job, Shelley. Excellent job communicating that. I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time.
Thank you for having me, and I'd love to come back, so I'll be in touch.
I appreciate it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for Townhall.com. A new survey by the Fund for American Studies reminds us that millennials do not understand economics. The same group that does not know basic civics, such as who is their senator or whether Judge Judy is on the Supreme Court, also doesn't know how free markets work. While 60% of millennials said they would choose liberty over security, in turn 54% want more government, not less. A majority of even Republicans and conservatives believe government should regulate oil and drug company prices and place tariffs on goods coming from overseas. This survey is described as a freedom index, but millennials really favor more government regulation. I suppose it's no surprise that young people who've grown up knowing nothing but big government fail to see the connection between more government regulation and less freedom. Young people who value freedom in their personal and social lives need to understand that political and economic freedoms are necessary to sustain that. I'm David Davenport.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. What a show. I love it. This is the kind of show I really like. Get into a bunch of different subjects, go into it, talk about the quality of God, talk about the quality of Jesus. The work that Jesus does is quality. Guess what? You're a work of Jesus Christ. Woo! Come on. Somebody can say amen or oh me. One of the two. Okay. That's back in the old Pentecostal days. All right, we're going to close it out with one that you cannot argue with because it is just so much fun to think about. It's called What a Friend. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. The word friend means companion. Abraham was called a friend of God. Galatians chapter 4 makes it clear that we are sons of Abraham because we are sons of faith. Jesus said this in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for servants do not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now watch this. He is God. He is holy. And he is your friend. There is in the church from time to time a stuckedness. It's kind of like crazy glue that makes the Christian crazy. There is everything right with you coming before the throne and acknowledging that he who is greater than any other has allowed you to come into his presence, and you come in with a reverence, a respect, an honor, an appreciation, a worshipfulness that expresses your extreme delight to connect. And if you don't have that in your life at all, that's a problem. The difficulty comes in when you are unable to come into the presence of God, unable to call upon Jesus Christ as a friend in need and a friend indeed. That becomes an imbalance. For there are times when you should not lift your head and just lift your hands and literally, woe is me. And there are other times where you need the shoulder of your best friend to just say, man, I need help. And Jesus says to his disciples, I don't even call you servants. I'm calling you friends. A title, an honor that God bestows upon those that delight in him and that he delights in. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything I have and I need is in the Lord. Think of the power of knowing that Jesus, from one of the great hymns of all, what a friend we have in Jesus. Is he your friend? Or is he just something you throw on the end of a prayer? In Jesus' name. I want to make sure I get it done. In Jesus' name. He is a friend. He took that spot for you. He didn't do anything wrong and took your guilt upon himself. You didn't even like him then. A friend forever. What a friend we have in Jesus. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Are our churches truly leaving a mark on people? Or another way to think about it, are our churches thick or thin? I'll explain next on Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
What's the difference between a job and a vocation, or a collection of people and a team? Well, according to New York Times columnist David Brooks, the difference is thickness. A thick institution, Brooks writes, becomes part of a person's identity and engages the whole person, heads, hands, heart, and soul. Brooks tells of the Incarnation summer camp in Connecticut where he worked as a young man. When a former Incarnation co-worker died recently, the camp community came together, reaching out to his relatives in their grief and to one another in theirs. One posted a camp reunion photo with a caption, "My family." As Brooks writes, some organizations are thick and some are thin. Some leave a mark on you and some you pass through with scarcely a memory. I haven't worked at Incarnation for 30 years, he said, but it remains one of the four or five thick institutions in my life. According to Brooks, thick organizations, whether schools, employers, or something else, often share a physical location where people meet regularly, face to face, and frequently for a meal. Thick institutions often have and practice shared rituals such as fasting or reciting a song or a theme. There's often what might be called a sacred origin story. Many members can tell of personal rescue or redemption and usually can quickly articulate a common ideal. Just think about Semper Fi for the Marine Corps. Membership is not a means to get something for themselves, but a way to be part of something bigger than themselves for the greater good. Now, I find it interesting, telling in fact, that throughout this terrific description of thick institutions, Brooks never once uses the word church in his column. Isn't this exactly what churches should be? Think of the first century church in Jerusalem as described in Acts 2, or the persecuted house church communities in China. The church was established by Christ to be the place of our primary relationships and loyalty, where individuals and families both invest of themselves and receive help, encouragement, rebuke, and blessing. But in the age of dating the church, it's too often a consumerist experience in which leadership is forced to outdo itself each week to attract parishioners who are more shaped by consumerism than the gospel itself. Some churches, so afraid of losing attendees, have embraced a consumer model that offers all kinds of life advice and programming, but that's little distinct from culture. A recent study revealed that growing churches are the theologically conservative ones, with leaders who believe that Jesus really rose from the dead and that salvation is only available in Christ. And following Christ calls us to culturally unpopular commitments. But it's more than just the right beliefs. It has to be the right practices, too, inviting believers to embrace the faith once delivered through shared worship, repentance, and calling, and of course, by caring for one another. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg said recently that Facebook can provide a community and a sense of belonging like churches do. But Facebook is a thin community at best, an illusion of true community. As one online commenter quipped, Facebook won't show up at your door with 50 casseroles after you have a baby or lose a loved one. Being connected is not the same as being in relationship. And we ought to remember this. In an age of thin connections masquerading as thick, strong mediating institutions are the secret sauce of a strong civil society. They not only provide meaning for individuals, they're necessary for a healthy citizenry. They do what government cannot: cultivate virtue and care for others, both of which are necessary for self-governance. Please come to breakpoint.org, click on this commentary. We'll link you to David Brooks' column. But more than that, this is something we we should discuss in our families and share with our pastors and friends. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley hit back at North Korea following that country's launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile and the strong words from its leader, Kim Jong-un. Haley says North Korea is a threat to all, not just its neighbors.
North Korea's destabilizing escalation is a threat to all nations in the region and beyond. Their actions are quickly closing off the possibility of a diplomatic solution.
And she says the United States has many capabilities to defend itself against North Korean provocations.
One of our capabilities lies with our considerable military forces. We will use them if we must, but we prefer not to have to go in that direction.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by a point to 21,478. The NASDAQ rose 41. The S&P advanced 3.5. Oil dropped dramatically to $45.13 a barrel. This is SRN News.
This is AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, San Diego.
Thank you for supporting our ministry partners and advertisers.
Here's the word on wealth, a retirement update from five-star wealth manager, certified financial planner Marty Schneider, the retirement professor.
Good afternoon, friends. Here's today's Wall Street Report. U.S. stock market was mixed today, although the tech stocks finally had a decent day at the finish. The Dow Jones average was down just 1 point today to close at 21,478 on the blue chip index. The NASDAQ composite, however, up about 40 points to 6150 on the high techs, and the S&P up about 3.5 points to 2432 in a mixed market today on Wall Street. I want to remind you, friends, if you don't have your own long-term retirement income plan together, that is exactly the kind of work that I do for my clients each and every day right here in our Mission Valley offices. We help you to put it all together, the IRAs and rollovers and 401k. And, of course, Social Security planning as well. Call me to schedule your free consultation with me. The office number here is 800-727-PLAN. That's the news for the day, and I'm the retirement professor, Marty Schneider. Call me for your free consultation with me, 800-727-PLAN. That's 800-727-7526.
And Discover the Word, sponsored by Our Daily Bread Ministries. It's AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Show and tell. We started doing that in our earliest years in school when we brought something from home and then told our classmates about it. But, you know, it's not a bad practice to carry into adulthood. A version of show and tell is pretty effective in certain situations at work or at home raising your kids. So today on Discover the Word, we're going to discover that show and tell is actually one of the fishing tips that Jesus' famous fisherman disciple gave for bringing people to Christ. Advice from Peter about fishing for people is what the Discover the Word group is focusing on this week. And today's fishing tip, show and tell. And this is Discover the Word, the weekday small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. Marty Hahn, Elisa Morgan, and Bill Crowder are your study partners once again this week. And we're glad that you're in that fourth chair that the group keeps with them at the table. A helpful series of conversations going on that is focusing on some things that the Apostle Peter wrote later on in his life that grew out of his life-altering time with Jesus and Jesus commissioning him to make more disciples and in that way fish for people instead of fishing for fish, which had been his occupation. And so in a couple of letters that Peter wrote that are included in the New Testament, we're finding some fishing tips that he gave for sharing our faith. This is what can effectively make faith in Christ seem attractive to others. And so today let's listen as they talk about how both aspects of show and tell are important. That's today's fishing tip.
What do you think is most important or more important as we share our faith with other people? Is it to show our faith out in our actions? Or maybe is it to tell our faith and have a good explanation for what we believe?
It kind of all depends, doesn't it?
On the kind of person, on the situation.
Seems like the time. There's a time for everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe that probably the correct answer, you know, if you're sitting there taking a class on evangelism 101 and this is the test, the correct answer is both. Mm-hmm. But I think even though there must be a time when you say some things, if those don't have a platform of a life lived by faith to build on, then it's going to have a hollow ring to it.
Even if it's only a first meeting, we have to be showing something of our respect for the other person.
Yeah.
in our consideration for them.
To be listening to their world and their context, not just forcing ours upon them.
Yeah, who was the early church father who said, preach the gospel always, use words when necessary?
Yes.
That kind
I believe
of
that was St. Francis. And I agree. As you look at how the pendulum of culture has swung over various centuries, there are times when head knowledge, facts, information is very important in cultures. There are other times when that's become skewed and the integrity of actions played out. Are we different because of our faith is more important? Honestly, today we live in a world when we've made a lot of mistakes as followers of Christ.
Right. If in an area that has never heard the name of Christ, if that's where we are, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think both of you are making really good points. And when I try to knit those things together, what it comes to me is that, again, the Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there's a time and a purpose under heaven. And we just need to trust him for the wisdom to know how to respond in the moment we're given. In the